Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. I am Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, right here on 1320 WILS. Today we're going to, first of all, talk to one of the groups backing Ann Coulter that just changed course, the Young Americans for Freedom, deciding not to support her. She's canceled her appearance at Berkeley. The national chairman of that group will be here to tell us why they reversed course on that. Also, the a former president of the National Foreign Trade Council will be here to tell us what will happen if Donald Trump does, in fact, begin the process of removing us from the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, what that could really mean. Let's begin, though. Today, Donald Trump's administration unveiling the tax reform plan that we've been awaiting. Includes simplifying the personal income tax, individual and corporate income tax system. Charles Ballard with us, Michigan State University economist. Charles, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, do you think in general the tax system does need to be simplified?
Oh, I think simplification would be good, although I think it's important to say that simplification is pretty far down on the list of what this particular proposal would do.
What would you say if you were to just synopsize what you think the plan does? What is that?
Well, most of what it does is it's a continuation of the tax policies that have been enacted by George W. Bush and earlier of providing very large tax cuts, which lead to very large deficits, and almost all of the tax reductions go to those with high income and wealth. This is a huge stake for millionaires and a few crumbs of bread for the average citizen is what it looks like to me.
Okay, because he wants to change the individual income tax brackets into three categories, 10%, 25%, and 35%. How does that benefit the rich over the rest of us?
Well, the big thing is that the top rate currently is 39.6. Taking it down to 35, that may not seem like a lot. It's only a difference of 4.6 percentage points. But if your taxable income is $100 million, that is a whole lot of money. Also, this would...
what's wrong with that? I mean, if a wealthy person has succeeded in life, is making a lot of money, and they're still paying 35%. I mean, that sounds like it's a pretty hefty tax burden. What's wrong with that level?
Well, obviously, this involves a value judgment. And, the most important economic phenomenon of your lifetime and mine is this phenomenal increase in income inequality. And this would further contribute to that. And, my values, my moral values and judgments are that we're already way more unequal than I would like to be, and policies that further benefit those at the top I'm opposed to. But that's the correct set of values.
What about the 10% and 25% numbers? Are those, do you think that's appropriate?
Well, those are sort of in the ballpark of what we have now. The biggest change for sort of low and middle income people, if this goes through, is an increase in the standard deduction, which is sort of a cousin of the personal exemptions. It's an amount that walls off the bottom part of your income from paying any income tax. If that were to be increased, that would give a break to millions of low and middle income taxpayers. That's the one big part in this for them.
Realistically, though, any tax reform, do you believe it would include, if we're going to actually get it passed, tax relief for both rich and poor, or do you think it could be done where the poor get a break and the rich continue paying maybe even more?
Well, it's, historically, in 1986, when President Reagan had a tax reform, the explicit goal was for it to be revenue neutral, for it not to lose money. This one would probably, because I think more estimates have to be made, my guess is it's in the ballpark of it would increase the deficit by about a half a trillion a year if it were to be if it were to be passed. And so the question of, does everybody have to get a tax break? Well, that sort of is a political question rather than an economic question. Mm-hmm. It depends upon how much you worry about deficits and also about how much you worry about the taxes paid by different income groups.
Those tell me, Charles Ballard here with us, MSU economist Charles Ballard. Those that say, look, you give government money, they'll spend everything you give them. The idea is to have less access to money by the government, leave more to us, and then let government figure out how to balance the budget at that point. What about that thought?
Well, in a state, at the state government, there's a constitutional requirement of a balanced budget. And so if the income tax cut that was proposed in Lansing, which failed last month, but if it were to go through, then the state would have to cut $1 billion worth of spending. Federal government doesn't have any such requirement. And there hasn't been any talk about, we're going to reduce revenues by $500 billion. We're going to cut spending by $500 billion. In fact, President Trump has pushed for a very substantial increase in defense spending. So the most likely thing is this is not forcing government to be smaller. This is just going to run up bigger deficits. That's the likely effect.
And what about, and now the other aspect of it that the Trump administration says is going to really stimulate the economy is reducing the corporate tax rate from what 35% to 15%. And well, do you, first of all, do you believe that would in fact stimulate more economic growth?
Maybe, but all of the evidence from history suggests that the effects would be modest. We've heard this story again and again about how there would be so much additional economic growth that these tax cuts will pay for themselves. That's just not going to happen. It didn't happen with the Reagan tax cuts of the early 80s. It didn't happen with the two rounds of Bush tax cuts in 2001 and 2003. It won't happen now. So there may be some modest boost to economic growth. But it's not going to shift the economy into overdrive. I don't think there's any reason to believe that. Moreover, remember, in order to accelerate growth, you've got to be able to either make the economy more productive or bring in more resources. Well, we have added 16 million jobs since we bottomed out after the Great Recession. The economy is pretty close to full employment.
Right. But some would say the quality of the jobs are very poor, and we're not nearly as well off as the numbers are telling us.
That's unquestionably true, but yeah. I think that's a different issue from the strength of the overall macro economy.
But let me ask you this, Charles, because it's a global economy, right? So we're going up against these other countries that have much lower corporate tax rates. Are we at a point, though, that we need to compete on that level and look beyond just, you know, what's happening in the U.S.?
Oh, certainly. There are a lot of things about the corporate tax that I think could be improved. One of my big concerns, however, is that I don't want to bust a hole in the budget and blow up the deficit. And so if you cut the rate to 15%, you worry about are we going to define income? Are we going to just cut the rate on the basis of the definition of taxable income that already exists? That'll just mean that we'll have lower total revenues. That may have some fiscal stimulus effect, but I don't think it's going to be large. I'd like to see reform of the way in which taxable income is defined. And that would be, that would include for me, fewer deductions for borrowing, which we have a tax code that encourages business to borrow a lot. So it's more than just cutting the rate. Another thing that needs to be remembered is that because of all the loopholes and tax preferences in the tax code, lots of corporations pay no income tax as it is.
Yeah. Well, the effective rate is about 22%, the corporate tax rate? Something like
that. Have you seen a calculation to that effect?
Yeah, that's what I just heard today, that it's far lower than 35. But I guess one last thing, Charles, if this goes through, I mean, what is your projection about what happens to this country if we do see this kind of tax reform?
It'll be fabulous for wealthy people and fabulous for rich people. It will give hundreds of billions of additional disposable income to those at the top of the income scale. I don't see it doing anywhere nearly that much for the average citizen. I don't think it will shift the economy into overdrive. And I think this is mostly not about efficiency of the tax system. This is about redistributing taxes away from the high income and the corporations.
Charles,
that's the way I see it.
It's Charles Ballard right here on 1320 WILS. Charles, MSU economist, Charles Ballard. Great, Charles, great to have your insight. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.